Welcome to the Rusty Small Podcast, where the focus is resources for the church and encouragement for the Christian. Let's listen in as Rusty covers today's topic.
Well, before beginning the process of church revitalization, we'll need to think about what is required in the journey ahead. Church revitalization is different from church planting, is different from missions work, and is even different from being a pastor in a church that is already vitalized. Being a church revitalization pastor will require a pastor to have competencies that are sufficient for the task ahead. What I would like to do today is overview seven questions that will allow you to evaluate your competencies and to evaluate your readiness to engage in the process of church revitalization. These questions are questions that you can think about and hopefully develop in, and ultimately not to be surprised by when these type of issues come up when you engage in revitalization. So let's get right to the seven questions. The first question is, can you, as a church revitalizer, present solutions in your church context without being perceived as a problem? There's the first question. Can you present solutions without being perceived as the problem? Here's the reality. Churches that need revitalization realize to some degree that they have problems that need to be addressed. The various members have differing levels at which they feel the church is devitalized, and they have differing plans and ideas on what they think revitalization is. One of the most mistaken plans that church members have is a church that is in a devitalized position looks often to be revitalized by recapturing a past era. And on some level, the past era of vitalization can give a window in what a future day of revitalization can look like, but there never is a one-to-one correspondence between a vitalized past and a revitalized future. What often is the case is when a pastor who is a church revitalizer presents solutions or presents ideas or presents plans to this church and says, would you like to be revitalized? This is what I see. Well, any change in any church, even good change, is going to create some level of discomfort and some level of conflict or dissonance. And the church is in a very vulnerable time when it is moving from the place where it is at, which is often a weakened state, to make a jump to another state. And I think a lot of church members are pretty concerned that if the church makes the leap from where it is to where it wants to be, if it doesn't actually successfully make the leap, then the church may be even weakened further. So, with all of that going on, sometimes the pastor can present solutions and be labeled as a problem starter, or overly disrupting the church. So I think the first question that you will have to think about is, can you present solutions without being perceived as the problem? This takes a lot of wisdom, because some solutions will just not be palatable in your context. And if you make those suggestions, then you will be in for stiff resistance. Also, some pastors present a solution, get blowback, get resistance, get labeled as a problem, and then that sends them in an emotionally bad place. They can lash out against church members or begin to distance from church members in an inappropriate way and then get labeled as a problem. So my first big point is you got to present solutions, but you can't get conflicted and you can't be labeled as a problem. The second question that you need to ask yourself before you engage in church revitalization is, can you change existing structures internally? Now, I'll say churches that are in need of revitalization often have structures that just don't make sense. They did make sense in a past era. Oftentimes, churches that are in need of revitalization were vital. At one era, they may have needed this large, intricate system, but now the church is much smaller and they don't need what they had in the past. But the pastor's going to have to deal with the structures that are there. I know of a lot of churches that are in need of revitalization. They have less than 50 members and they have 50 committees. I guess that's one person per committee. And there's often a lot of, a lot of people use that and, you know, throw that up. I can't believe this church is 50 people and have 50 committees. Well, that made sense at a point in time, or there was a reasonable rationale for that to happen at some point in time, but it doesn't make sense now, but it is what it is. It's what the church has. So a church revitalizer would be very unwise to come in immediately, start criticizing the structures that are there and not wear those structures for a bit. A pastor should be able to kind of wear those structures and live in those structures for 6 months to a year, if for no other reason to just kind of learn why the church is as it is and to raise good questions to the church members. Why is this as it is? Learn, and maybe even in that discussion, by living in the structures of the church, not being critical of the structures of the church, but merely inquiring and attempting to learn the structures of the church, there are probably a lot of keys that will unlock a lot of opportunities to change those structures, not with a wrecking ball from the outside, but slowly, incrementally, or maybe even dramatically, changing those structures to a healthy or more reasonable structure, but at least initially living in the structures for a minute and changing the structures kind of from the inside out, not the outside in. The third big question that we want to ask and answer is, can you embrace a church history, not create one? Church revitalization is unique because churches that are in need of revitalization, they have a history. And you cannot ignore the history. The history of a church is going to tell you so much about the church that was, so much about the church that is, and ultimately so much about the church that can be. And a church revitalizer cannot be so future-focused that they are ignorant of the past. You have to embrace the church's history. Even if the church has bad moments, you have to reckon with them. If they have good moments in the past, you have to celebrate them. But a church revitalizer will be a pastor in a series of pastors. You will not be the first pastor this church ever had. You will not be the last pastor this church ever had, well, at least hopefully, because the church is going to continue and be very vital. But this idea, you must embrace the church's history, which means you need to, once or twice a year in your teaching and preaching ministry, you need to articulate to the church how you understand not only the church that is, not only the church that can be, but that you understand the church that was. You must really wear the history, and you must embrace that you are one season in a larger story. Well, the next question you're going to have to ask and answer is, can you be both patient and strategic? Now, patience and strategy can go together, but they often don't go together. Sometimes pastors are so patient that a decade, 20 years goes by, and they haven't really gotten around to doing anything. I know a lot of patient, long-suffering pastors who are late in their ministry, and they're still telling me that they haven't gotten around to doing some of the things that they saw that needed to be done much earlier in their ministry. So patience alone is not what we're looking for. We're looking for patience and strategy. Now, how does one possess strategic patience? Well, a person possesses strategic patience by A, having a competent plan to see what needs to be done in a church, but also having not just an eye on the plan, but an eye on the people. In life, we can only accomplish so much so fast. Now, I want to be careful when I say that, because we can accomplish something, but we can only accomplish it so fast. That doesn't mean that we can't. It just means we have to go at the right pace. A church revitalizer has to stay in this unique position of dissonance. A church revitalizer has to love the people that are there, accept the people that are there, but then at the same time not allow the people that are there to stay where they are. But the pastor can't do it in such a heavy-handed way that the sheep feel as though the pastor doesn't care, but the pastor also has to, at some point in time, get around to doing it. And so there's this middle ground of there is a plan, but there are also people. If I don't push, potentially the church won't move, but if I push too much, then the church will break. And so you move, and then you rest. You move, and then you rest. You move, and then you evaluate. Is this a pace that the church can handle? Are we going too fast? Are we going too slow? Or do I need to cast vision and motivate people to get them going because they're apathetic? Or have they done enough for this season that we need to step back and take a break? This idea of patience and strategy. The next question that has to be asked and answered is, can you engage in negotiation and accept compromise? Well, here's the deal. The future that you want in the church is going to end up being a little different than the future that will ultimately be. And in my opinion, that's not a bad thing. I think the cumulative wisdom of the church, the giftedness of the church, is important when thinking through the intricacies of church revitalization, because as a group collaborates, they're going to press against one another, and kind of the final product or the final outcome or the final plan of what is being realized is going to look a little bit different than what started, or maybe a lot different. And so along the way, you're going to have to engage in negotiation and accept compromise. Now, if you say, no, I'm going to have a plan, and if people don't follow the plan, then they can leave. My concern with that idea and that philosophy, although I am aware that there are some leaders who aggressively hold to that, most of the time in church revitalization, the church is just too fragile for a pastor to come in and say, this is the plan, and if you don't like it, leave. That usually will not work. And if it does work, it usually works with a great deal of trauma to the church. So I think the idea of engaging in appropriate negotiation and appropriate compromise is going to be what is needed. Now, this is going to get to my next question, which is, can you embrace progress, not perfection? Can you embrace progress, not perfection? In church planting, church planters get the benefit of thinking about the ideals and thinking about how these ideals could be realized in this newly formed church community. A church revitalizer has to embrace what is there. And oftentimes what is there is not the ideal. It doesn't mean that it is completely deficient, but it is not the ideal for the church, because if it was, it would need revitalization. But as you start inching towards health, so you develop a plan, you engage in negotiation and compromise, what is ultimately going to be the case is you're going to have to move the plan forward, often incrementally, and the ideals that are so rooted in your mind about what the church could be, they will not be attained in totality, but they could be incrementally, you could incrementally move towards the ideal. And that's this sixth question. Can you embrace progress, not perfection? I think sometimes church revitalizers can become discouraged that the ideals are not present and fail to see the amount of great progress that is happening. And some mornings, especially Monday mornings, I think, for many pastors, they're going to have to sit down at their desk and they're going to have to count their blessings. They're going to have to say, what is now present in this church that wasn't present? Rather than sitting down at their desk on Monday mornings and asking the question, what still needs to be that isn't? To be able to ask the question, what is that wasn't? Can you embrace progress, not perfection? The seventh question is an interesting question, and my final question is, can you pastor the church you would like to create? I do believe that God often gives us the church that we can handle. And not only does the church need to grow in a church revitalization situation, you, the pastor, need to grow. You, the church leader, need to grow in a church revitalization. Because here's the deal. It is not obvious that if the church were to reach the ideals, to accomplish the goals, to meet the objectives that you have set for the church, it is not clear that you, at that moment, would be able to pastor the church you would like to create. There's a lot of literature out there that talks about how a pastoral role changes as the church continues to grow. Now, numerical growth is not the only metric, and it's likely not the main metric of church health. But as a church develops, as ministries become more robust, as the community is reached, as systems that were simple have to become more complex just because there are more people and there are more ministries. The question becomes, you must become a different type of pastor. And that may mean that at one earlier season in the life of the church, you could basically play pastor chaplain to everybody. You could preach the messages. You could make all the visits. You could help organize the events. You could help run the programs. Well, that's probably not even wise early in church revitalization, but this is not even possible later. So what do you have to do? You have to start leading leaders. You have to start, shifting people around to areas of competency. You have to start changing what you focus on, because what you used to focus on is not now the most important thing to focus on. At one point in time, there may have been objectives to accomplish that you loved, but now maybe the objectives have changed. And now you have to do that. So all of these questions really kind of culminate in this final question: can you pastor the church you would like to create? It's one of the reasons that I'm not sure that you should hope for a very quick church revitalization. If your church went from where it is right now to where you want it to be in a year, the question is, would the church still look to you as a pastor who's able to continue to lead them? I think these seven questions are so important, and they need so much time and reflection to think through, because if you don't understand the competencies that you're going to need, if you don't wrestle with these questions, then you're likely going to be surprised at what you encounter. In review, here are the questions. Think about these as deeply as you can. Can you present solutions without being perceived as the problem? Question 2, can you change existing structures internally? Question 3, can you embrace a church history, not create one? Question 4, can you be patient and strategic? Question 5, can you engage in negotiation and accept compromise? Question 6, can you embrace progress, not perfection? And then lastly, can you pastor the church you would like to create? Thinking through these questions will make you much more ready for this task ahead. And so my hope is, through reflection, you'll be ready to embrace this wonderful journey of church revitalization.
Thank you for listening to the Rusty Small Podcast. We would love to hear from you. For contact information and more resources, visit rustysmall.com.